Well, good morning, and thank you for your welcome here amongst you today. Please do keep your Bibles open as we come and consider the message of God's Word to us this morning as part of His church. Let's just pray as we anticipate doing that. Father God, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You speak today by the power of Your Spirit into the lives of Your people and into this world through Your Word, through the message of Christ. And we pray that You would give us ears to hear this morning the truth of Your Word and hearts that are ready to respond to You in obedience and faith. So honour the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives day by day. Amen. Well, I wonder whether you ever feel insignificant. Do you sometimes think that you've not really got much place in the life and the work of the Church of Jesus Christ, particularly when you've been looking through the book of Acts and you think about Satan's attacks? Well, can you really stand up to those? When you see what the apostles did, can you really be someone like them in the life of the church? Well, if we feel like that, it's not a very big step from thinking that way to thinking, well, yeah, I'm not much use. I've got nothing I can do in serving in the life of the church. There's nothing I can really say to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't really have what it takes. Maybe we've all been there as Christians at some time in our Christian lives. Maybe today that's where you're at. Yes, I'm here in church, but that's the limit of my Christian life. There's not much I can offer. There's not much I can do in speaking to others about Jesus. Well, if that's you, if that's us, then this chapter 6 of the book of Acts is something that can both challenge us, but also encourage us. It helps us to begin to think rightly about ourselves and about the equipping that the God has given us for service of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as ordinary, apparently insignificant Christians. Here, Luke draws to the end, at the end of the first section of his account of the early church, and he does that with an organizational problem within the church. The church was growing rapidly, and there's a problem which Satan could easily have exploited to the detriment of the church. He then moves on to the next section in the second half of this chapter when he talks about another time of opposition to the life of the church and the ministry of the church. But actually what happens here at this turning point or change in his account is that there is an amazing breaking out of the good news of Jesus Christ. From its beginnings there in Jerusalem amongst the Jews who were there to beginning to go out to Judea and then to the Samaritans in Samaria. And then a Gentile is converted and then the gospel begins to go out to the ends of the earth. And the beginning of that starts here in the instance that we've read in Acts chapter 6. And what's interesting in this account of this turning point in the life of the early church and the breaking out of the gospel to go out to the ends of the earth, it's although the apostles, and that'll soon include the apostle Paul, are continue to be involved in this going out of the gospel, the person who makes a difference in this chapter, the one who's highlighted here, is not an apostle, but just an ordinary Christian, like you and like me. His name is Stephen. We don't read anywhere that he has a special calling from God. We don't know that he ever saw or met the Lord Jesus for himself. He was simply appointed to a role to serve within the life of the church, along with 6 others, by the church itself. They were the ones who appointed him to serve within the life of the church. And then the apostles just laid hands on him and the others and prayed for them. Stephen's not identified here as a wonderfully gifted evangelist. There's no mention of anyone being converted by what Stephen does. But Stephen simply gets on with talking to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all Stephen had to be serving in the life of the church and speaking to others about Jesus, making a significant difference and leading to this breaking out of the church to go to the ends of the earth, was that he was being filled with the Holy Spirit. He was being filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 5. Stephen's described as a person full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's no reason why those words shouldn't describe you as an ordinary Christian. Full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. If we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, all of us, like Stephen, have received the Holy Spirit to live within us and to fill our lives full of faith. Remember back to Acts chapter 2, when you looked at Acts chapter 2 and Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost and there were people there who were convicted of their sin and asked, what must we do? And Peter says this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 28, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. You see, if you've heard the gospel, if you've been convicted of your sin in your life, that life of rebellion, rejecting God, just living your own way, and you've realized that actually Jesus is Lord, he died on the cross for you, and you've come to put your trust in him, you've repented of your sins, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, then the promise of God is that you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. You have all that Stephen had to be able to live a life full of faith, to be able to serve in the life of the church, and to be able to simply speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 that as Christians, we are to be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Literally, it says, be being filled. It's an ongoing process. And the ongoing process comes about as we are careful how we live. Not as unwise, but as wise. As we make the most of those opportunities when people ask about our Christianity, and we are able to say to them, this is what we believe, and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? You see, if you don't feel very significant in the life of the church, if you don't think you're worth very much, you've got nothing you can offer, please don't blame God, because God's provided you with everything to be significant in the life of the church, to be useful in serving in the life of the church, to be talking to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might hear and believe as well. He has provided you with the Holy Spirit. So if you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not being able to do those things and being feeling significant, then maybe it's because you're living an unwise life rather than listening to God's word and putting it into practice in your life. Maybe you're just being lazy. Maybe you're just not making the most of those opportunities that come along to serve the Lord or to talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're still following the desires of the sinful desires of the flesh, just living for yourself. Yeah, you come to church on a Sunday, but the rest of the week it's just me, getting on with my life in the world and doing what I want, rather than living by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being useful in service in the life of the church, and to be able to speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you let the word of God challenge you this morning about your life? About whether you are being filled with the Holy Spirit? The Spirit's been given to you. Are you letting the Spirit fill your life? That you might be full of faith and so useful in the life and service of the church. So what do we learn here from Stephen's life about what it means to live by the Spirit? Well, first of all, it means this: submitting to the Holy Spirit to conform your life to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to the Holy Spirit within you to conform your life to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. What we see going on here in the church is that the church was rapidly growing, and there's a crisis comes along that Satan could have quite easily used to bring an end to the ministry of the early church. You see, due to the growth that was going on, there were more and more widows in the church who were in desperate need of help. And many members of the church were giving donations to the apostles. They were selling things and they were giving donations to the apostles. And the apostles were organizing this distribution of daily food to those widows who were in need. And the problem was that the apostles were just too busy to do this work well. They had so many more people that the church was growing. They needed to minister to. They needed to come alongside and to disciple. And they were just getting too busy to be able to do this work well. And they weren't able to do the work of prayer and the ministry of the word that was their main ministry. That's what they were called to do by the Lord Jesus Christ, to go out and to preach the good news of Jesus, to make known the witness that they had seen of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done and all that he is. And so if they weren't able to do that, then Satan had won, hadn't he? He was able to cripple the church by making the apostles too busy to do the essential ministry that only at that stage they could do, because they were the eyewitnesses to Jesus. But also we see here that with this busyness of the apostles and the disorganized, the ministry of distribution of food being disorganized, it was leading to the potential of division within the church along the same lines as the Jews in Jerusalem were divided. You see, in Jerusalem at that time, there were different groups of Jews. On the one hand, there were those Jews who were brought up in Jerusalem and Judea who were very, very traditional. Hebrew was their language, and they spoke Aramaic as well, but they were very traditional. And then there were Jews who used to live out in the Greek culture in the nations around, who had come back to Jerusalem to live. And they're called here that the Grecian Jews. They had a Greek culture and language, and they were far less traditional. And actually, they had different synagogues for these different groups of Jews. They were divided amongst themselves. But people from both backgrounds have been converted and come into the church. And we see here that those who had a Greek Jewish background thought that they were being left out in the distribution of food to the widows of their community. And so they began to grumble. That's a word that goes back to the Old Testament, in the Exodus, when the Jews grumbled, the Israelites grumbled and began to be divided against the leaders of the church. And there was a potential here for the church to split on the same lines that the world was split. And that would have been a great victory for Satan, wouldn't it? Because if the church had split along the same lines as the Jews in Jerusalem were split, then who was going to believe the gospel when people proclaimed it and saying it was the power of God to unite people in one family, the family of God? They would say, "Oh, your gospel's rubbish, it doesn't work." And so there was a big danger here for the church to become just fruitless because the ministry of the apostles was stopping and divided and so worthless in the eyes of the world. Well, the apostles try and resolve it. But notice what they don't do. They don't go around and say, "Let's find the best businessman. Let's find the most intelligent people who can take over this work, who are the best organized." No. They say in verse 3 that they're to choose men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Now that word wisdom there, it doesn't mean that they had got a university degree. They've been to the university of Jerusalem under the rabbis and they got a great degree. No. It simply means that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was developing the character and the life of Christ within them. They were beginning to grow the mind of Christ, the character of Christ, and the life of service of Christ in their lives. You see, what the church needs is Christ-like people serving in the life of the church. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to make us more like Jesus as we listen to his word and as we put it into practice in our lives in dependence upon the work of the Spirit within us. And such people are those that the church needs to be serving in the life of the church. And that's God's purpose for each one of us. That's what God is doing. That's why he's called us into his family, to put his Spirit in us, to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. How much like Christ are you? He has given you his Spirit to make you like Jesus, so that you will be useful and significant in serving in the life of the church. You see, we read in the Bible about the fruit of the Spirit. What's that? That's the character of Christ. We are to be growing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, to be more like Christ in his character. We have the work of the Holy Spirit who enables us to understand the teaching of Jesus. So we grow the mind of Christ, thinking more and more like him. And we have the Holy Spirit in order to be able to put to death the misdeeds of the body, as Paul says in Romans, so that we become more like Christ in his holy life. And as we do that, so we become those sorts of people that the church is able to say, we've got this work that needs doing. You have the character, you have the likeness of Christ to be useful and significant in the life of the church, serving, releasing the leaders of the church to carry on proclaiming the gospel, preaching and teaching and building up the church and discipling people. Are you ready? Are you working at being more like Jesus Christ by trusting the work of the Spirit within you to grow more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you see what a difference it makes? What happens here when the church chooses Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and these other people who are full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, these other six men? What happens? We see that the church begins to grow again, because the apostles are able to focus upon their ministry of prayer and the word of God. And the church begins to grow again. And what's more, we see that actually the church begins it to reach a group that they'd not reached before. The priests. How amazing is that? You know, the priests, the ones who gather together to put Jesus to death. Yet here, the gospel is starting to touch their lives too. Why? Because the apostles are able to do their work, because there were people in the church filled with the Spirit, full of faith, who are able to serve in the life of the church so that the church could go on serving and growing. Will you make it your purpose to be like Stephen, growing in Christ-likeness? That's the work of the Spirit that God has given you in your life. We also see here that living by the Spirit means trusting the power of the Spirit to enable you to speak to others about Jesus. Trusting in the Spirit to empower you to speak to others about Jesus. I'm not talking about standing up and preaching like this. I'm just talking about speaking to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. What's one of the main reasons that we as Christians don't do that? We're a bit reluctant sometimes to speak to other people about Jesus. I don't think it's because we don't love Jesus. I don't think it's because we don't want other people to know about Jesus and love him. I think it's because we're fearful. We're fearful that we are just weak, insignificant people. We haven't really got much to say. We're not really clever enough to be able to argue with people and debate with people. We're just fearful we'll get into that sort of conversation that we can't cope with. And so we don't bother starting. I think we're fearful how people might respond and we won't know what to do. Well, we read here in verse 8, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Now, to be full of God's grace was again simply to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be full like Christ, to be like Christ. And so he was showing the character of Christ, the graciousness of Christ in his life. And it's in people like that that the power of the Holy Spirit is at work and works through. As we read on, I think it becomes quite clear that these miracles that Stephen was doing, he wasn't just going around as a miracle worker, going around trying to heal people and everything else. That's not what he was doing. What he was doing is he was just going around talking to people about Jesus. In particular, we see that he was talking to people about Jesus being the fulfillment of the law of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, and the fulfillment of the temple. There's a particular reason why Stephen would have talked about those things at that time. You see, most of the people who were Grecian Jews, they'd moved from other places around the Roman Empire where the Greek culture was predominant. They'd come back to Jerusalem because they liked to die near the temple so they could be buried near the temple. It was a bit of a superstition that they had, that they were better off if they were near the temple when they died and they could be buried in Jerusalem. And so presumably what Stephen was saying, look, there's a better hope than that. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to be near the temple. He can come and dwell within you by his Holy Spirit. And he will keep you even through death and raise you up on the last day. And so he was speaking to them about Jesus is the fulfillment of the law of Moses. He's the fulfillment of this temple. He is the one where we meet God and who will come and dwell with us. And I think what was going on is that as Stephen went out doing his work of distributing the food to the widows, he was going to some of these Grecian widows and he was taking the food to them, and some of the neighbours started saying, well, why are you doing that? Yeah, you belong to those apostles. They're Jewish Jews. You know, they're not like us. Why are you caring for these people? And so he would simply give the reason. He would start to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and get into conversation with them as they engaged with him. And to do that, he was trusting in the Holy Spirit's power within him. Now he's doing miracles was, I think, related to the fact that in those days, because Stephen wasn't an apostle, he'd not seen Jesus, he'd not heard Jesus' teaching. How did he know that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament law and of the temple? Well, it came through the apostles. They were the ones who were teaching that. And the apostles were the ones who did the miracles up until now, because that was God's sign that they were speaking the truth about Jesus. Well, in those days, Stephen didn't have a New Testament to say, look, I'm telling you the truth. I can tell you this is what the apostle says because I've got it written down here. And so God, in his grace, enabled Stephen to do those miracles so that the people could know that he was speaking the truth about Jesus without having to go and check with the apostles to see whether it was true. Today, we don't need those miracles to be done. We have the New Testament. We can say to people, look, come and read John's Gospel with me. Come and read Mark's Gospel with me. You'll see what the apostles taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. How is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law? And how is the fulfillment of the temple? If that's the issue that people have today. So we can speak. But to do that, we need to trust that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say, will encourage us, will help us to simply speak the truth about Jesus and open people's minds and eyes to that truth as we speak. So today, You have received the Holy Spirit. Are you trusting in the work of the Spirit within you? That in your everyday life, as you come into contact with other people, as they may say to you, "Oh, what were you doing at the weekend?" "I was in church." "Oh, well, what's that all about?" Will you just tell them it's about the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, remember back to chapter 1 and verse 8 of Acts? What did Jesus say the point of giving the Spirit was? Part of the point of giving the Spirit was so that the apostles would have power to be his witnesses. We're beginning to see here that same power comes to ordinary Christians. Not to our own witness, but to witness to the witness of the apostles, to say, "This is Jesus, who the apostles saw and heard. Come and meet with him." Are you allowing the Spirit to enable you? Are you trusting the Spirit that you can just simply speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ and let the Spirit do his work? It's not your work to convict them of their sin. It's not your work to convince them of the truth. You just simply have to proclaim it. And let the Spirit do his work, trusting in his power to do what he wants to do with the truth that you proclaim. And you know what we see here? As Stephen trusted the empowering of the Spirit in his life to speak to others about Jesus, wonderfully, the Lord comes alongside Stephen. The Lord shows his faithfulness in Stephen's life. You see, the thing we worry about is talking to people about Jesus and they'll come back with all their questions that we don't know how to answer. We don't know what to say. Or we'll get into an argument and we don't want to really get into an argument because that's not the done thing. But look, it gets tougher, pretty tough for Stephen, doesn't it? We see that people start arguing with him about what he's teaching. And look at what it says in verse 10. They could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. You know, that's a fulfillment of one of Jesus' promises. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 15, Jesus speaks to his apostles in the context of them being taken to the synagogues and people asking them lots of hard questions and charging them with doing things that are wrong. He says, "For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." You see, as Stephen simply spoke to other people about Jesus, so Jesus, by his Spirit, came and worked in his life, giving him the wisdom that he needed to be able to answer their questions, to be able to speak the truth that they were not able to come back against. Isn't that wonderful? You know, there are some Christians who say, I never really experience the faithfulness of the Lord in my life. Well, is that because you're not doing anything? You see, the Lord only shows his faithfulness as we are faithful to him, trusting in the provision of his Spirit to do his work. And then we find him faithful, keeping his promises in our lives. Will you trust the Spirit? If you want to experience more of the faithfulness of the Lord in your life, will you trust the Spirit and simply open your mouth and speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ? And we see here that things get even tougher for Stephen. It's not just the synagogue that goes against him. They drag him off to the whole Sanhedrin. You know, the Sanhedrin that put Jesus to death. Yeah, he must have been quaking in his boots, mustn't he? Being dragged off there. And there are false witnesses that are brought against him. But do you see what happens? The Lord shows Stephen his approval of him and his presence with him. Look at verse 15. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw his face was like the face of an angel. Do you remember someone else in the Bible who looked a bit like that? Moses. Yeah, they were all arguing, "We want Moses, you want Jesus, we want Moses." Well, he says, well, Moses, when he came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments to come and bring God's law to God's people, his face radiated because he'd come from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord was with him as he came to minister the Lord's word to his people. And here we see the Lord is showing his approval and his presence with Stephen as he spoke the truth about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? To know the Lord's presence and approval in your life as you do his will, trusting in the Holy Spirit to enable you to speak to others about Jesus. Do you want to know that presence of the Lord with you? Well, if you just sit at home doing nothing, you probably won't experience that. As you go out and do the Lord's will in your life every day, including speaking to others about Jesus, then the Lord promises that he will be with you. Yes, we may not have faces that shine like angels, as we've been out in the sun too long, but we will know the peace of God in our hearts. We will know his presence with us, empowering us, stopping the fear taking over our lives. And one day, we will hear the words of his approval. Well done, good and faithful servant. So if you're tempted today, or at some stage in the future, to think, well, I'm just an ordinary Christian, I can do nothing significant in the life of the church, and it's not going to make any difference whether I'm here or not, whether I get involved or not, will you be encouraged to think about Stephen? Think about what we see here of his life. Will you know that as a Christian, you have received all that Stephen received? You have received the Holy Spirit in your life. You can be filled with the Spirit and so full of faith. And will you be challenged to be submitting your life to the work of the Spirit within you, making you more like Jesus? Maybe there are some misdeeds of the body you need to be putting to death. Will you pray for the Spirit's help to do that? Maybe you need to be more attentive in a Bible study or in listening to God's word. Will you pray for the Spirit to do that for you so that your mind will become more like the mind of Christ? Maybe there are some character faults in your life that you need replacing with the fruit of the Spirit. Will you pray that the Spirit will be growing his fruit, the character of Christ, in your life? And when you have opportunities in your working life, as you go around day by day, will you be trusting the Spirit is in you to empower you to say something about Jesus when the opportunity arises, trusting that he will give you the words, trusting that he will do his work with the truth that you have proclaimed? You know, when we look back from eternity, who knows what we will see God has done from a small group of people like us here today who have simply believed the truth about Jesus, trusted in the Spirit dwelling within us, wanting to be full of faith, and so growing the character of Christ in our lives and simply speaking to others about the Lord Jesus as they ask us about our lives. Wouldn't it be wonderful just to see how God has taken simple acts of faith, simple acts of service in the life of the church, simple conversations that people have had, and used them for the glory of Christ and the growing of his kingdom? Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for the challenge of your word. And we thank you for the encouragement of your word that has reminded us this morning that you have given us all that we need to be living as your people today, making a difference by serving in the life of the church and releasing others to be preaching the gospel and to be leading the church and to be just talking to other people about the Lord Jesus when we have the opportunity. Father, we thank you that you have given us the Spirit of Christ to dwell within us so that he can be changing us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our thinking, in our character and in our behaviour. And we thank you that we have the Spirit to give us that ability just to be able to talk to others about Jesus, to pluck up that courage, to have the strength to know that we are not just insignificant people, but we are children of God who have the truth of God to proclaim to others. Father, we pray that you would use the life of people here in Christchurch, serving in the church, speaking to others about Jesus, releasing the leaders of the church to lead the church and to preach the gospel and to disciple people. Lord, we pray that you would use this to be growing your church here, not just now, but in the years to come. And we pray this would be for the glory of Jesus as more and more people come to know him and to put their trust in him and to live serving him and glorifying his name. Amen.